Earth and Sky.
We have a lot of long-standing problems that we're trying to solve in the food industry and certainly also in agriculture. And what nanotechnology does is it gives us new capabilities to solve some of these old problems.
You're listening to Johann Weiss, professor of food science at the University of Hohenheim in Germany. And this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Weiss is developing techniques to load nutrients into foods, such as ice cream, using nanotechnology, the manipulation of matter on the scale of atoms. He spoke about these future foods with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Weiss, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thanks very much.
Your research uses nanotechnology applied to agriculture and food, such as developing ways to preserve and process food and feed. Tell us more about that. What's happening?
Yes, we're actually very interested in developing new structures that can be used in food systems to improve the safety and the healthiness of the food supply. So we're working predominantly with encapsulation systems in which we can put bioactive ingredients or preservatives to make the food safer. So this is one of the main research areas in which I'm working.
So maybe we could kind of take that apart a little bit. What are these food systems? How are they bioactive? And how do you encapsulate them? Describe this for us, please.
Yeah, so a lot of the systems we're interested in are where you try to put, for example, lipid bioactives in. For an example would be omega-3 fatty acids, which a lot of people are maybe familiar with. And they have a lot of beneficial functions in terms of health. And it's very difficult to actually include them in a food system and make sure that they're still active and that the food still tastes good. As you may remember, if you've ever tried a couple-day-old fish, which is omega-3 fatty acids, it doesn't taste so good. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to put this into food systems and make sure that they still taste very good and they also are still functional and healthy. And we're doing this by basically encapsulating the substances, and then we mix them into food systems. And we're trying to design these capsules in a way that they maintain the functionality, that they improve the uptake of these beneficial compounds, and that you have very high stability in a food system. And for this, we use increasingly these very interesting and new nanoencapsulation technologies.
When I think of an encapsulation, I think of a pill or something. How are these things encapsulated with nanotechnology? And also, who is this nutritionally fortified with omega-3 fatty acid food? Who is eating this? Is it people? Is it animals? Tell us more about that.
Yeah, and in our case, it would be definitely people eating it. We're trying to put it in a wide variety of products, such as breads, mayonnaise, margarine-type products. You may also find it later on in beverages. And if you think about these systems as pills, that would be a very wrong scale of things. We're trying to put these compounds into very, very tiny systems, which is why they're on a nanoscale. So they're so tiny that actually once they're encapsulated, you wouldn't even be able to see it. So the solutions in which these compounds are in are basically transparent because they're so tiny. And this is, by the way, the reason why you can introduce them, say, in an apple juice or in a beverage. And you wouldn't notice any taste differences. You wouldn't see them. They wouldn't be turbid.
Where would these omega-3 fatty acids, what kind of foods would you put them into?
You could put them in a wide variety of foods. You could put them into beverages. People have done, or we have also done, encapsulation for applications in, say, ice cream, in yogurt, mayonnaise-type products. So you could go all the way into the solid foods or semi-solid foods like cheese. The purpose of the encapsulation is to actually make them compatible.
And can you speak more about the nanotechnology part of this? Why do scientists need nanotechnology in order to make this all work?
Yeah, so the problem is that if you make things very, very small, there is a number of very interesting changes that happen. And this is why we're also fascinated by using nanotechnology to do this. Basically, first of all, you can have these systems self-assemble. That means you don't need really a machine or a process to really accomplish the encapsulation. The systems are actually, they assemble themselves. So we're in a way, we're trying to simulate what nature is already doing. And because of this, you can actually save a lot of energy, and the systems are also very, very stable because of that. So this is a big advantage of nanotechnology. In addition, because the structures are so small, you get most of the properties now suddenly dominated by the molecules at the surface of these nanostructures. So they're no longer governed by the bulk of the molecules that are inside this particle. They're actually governed by the molecules that are just at the surface. And at some size range, you see a dramatic switch over in the functionality and the properties of these particles. So this is really dramatic. You can see it, for example, in the charge of these particles. You can see it in interactions with other molecules. That completely changes just by going from a relatively large size to a very small size, below 100 nanometer or less.
Yeah, it sounds like some kind of designer foods.
It's to some degree it's designer food, but it's in a way a functionality that is directly benefiting the consumer. As I said, I'll give you an example. There is a substance called lycopene, which is the red color in tomato. And people have discovered that when you take certain concentrations of this compound in, there are clear benefits in terms of preventing incidences of cancer, for example. But in the tomato, that compound is very, very stable. You know that when you cook it, the color doesn't go away. But unfortunately, that compound has a very low bioavailability. So our body really only takes up about 5% or less of this compound. So you would have to eat an enormous amount of tomatoes or ketchup or anything else to get this beneficial effect. So what we're trying to do is you take the substance out of the tomato and you try to concentrate it up and put it in a food where it can prevent cancer at the concentrations. Now, the problem is as soon as you do this, it actually, the compound degrades extremely rapidly because all the protection mechanisms that nature had built into the tomato are no longer there. So you can, for example, watch this compound when you put it in a normal mayonnaise-type product. If you would just mix it in, you could see that the red color would disappear over 24 hours very quickly, and you would lose all the benefits. So what we're trying to do is, with this new technology, you could actually make this compound stable and introduce it into the food system so that it does work over a long time. So when you buy it, when you purchase it, when you eat it, it is still active and it still does what you would like it to do.
You've been listening to Johann Weiss, professor of food science at the University of Hohenheim in Germany. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird for Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.